Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Welcome to Black Belt Selling with Stephanie and Anna Scheller. We are Black Belt in Taekwondo and sales trainers who have dedicated ourselves to sharing the same tools, techniques, and martial arts and applying that towards sales. We want to give you the tools you need to become a champion in your business. And I am excited to be here. Every single week, we bring in the best guests that we can get our hands on. We bring in the coolest topics and the most fun, interesting, informative, helpful ideas that can make a difference for you guys. Today, I wanted to talk about something. Well, first of all, address the elephant in the room in case you haven't noticed. This is Stephanie Scheller only. Anna Scheller today will not be joining us as she is resting. I believe she's on a forced rest. We had to like tie her down and not let her on the call. So I will be running the call, just me, myself, and I, and about 30 different stories that I've brought here. You see, today I want to talk about something that I feel is extremely, extremely timely. We're talking about persistence. We are just now entering the last month of the third quarter of the year. We have 4 months left in this year, and I can't believe how many people have really been struggling this year to make a difference for themselves and their business. They've really been struggling and wondering if they should keep pushing through. See, that to me, that is exactly why I do what I do. I believe that everyone has the right to stay in business as long as they want to. And I want to talk to you guys a little bit about some of the things that tend to hold us back. First of all, we're going to go through some stories here. I found some really, really cool ones. I can't wait to bring these to you guys. And then once we're done with those, we're going to talk through three tools you can use to overcome obstacles, to build your persistence, and to make yourself a champion. So some of these guys you guys have probably already heard, but before we get into that, I'm going to throw a quiz at y'all, okay? So this is just between you, yourself, and you. Grab a piece of paper, grab a pen real quick, or if you're driving, just listen and try and guess. So tell me if you know who was dismissed from drama school with a note that read, "You're wasting your time, you're too shy to put your best foot forward, you should literally try for any other career." That was Lucille Ball. She is a icon when it comes to theater. And her drama teacher told her that she had no place in this field. Now, I'm sure a lot of you guys know this one. This group was turned down by the Decca Recording Company, who said, "We don't like your sound, and guitar bands are on the way out." Wow, they must have felt like they had egg on their face when they realized that the Beatles would become one of the largest, one of the biggest, most memorable bands in history. Now, here's another one for you guys. We have a failed soldier, a farmer, and a real estate agent who at 38 years old decided he was going to give up on it and go work for his father as a handyman. And his name has gone down in history as one of the greatest generals of the Civil War, Ulysses S. Grant. This basketball legend was cut from his high school basketball team, went home and locked himself in his room and cried. And his name, if you haven't guessed it, is Michael Jordan. We have another one here whose teacher told him he was too stupid to learn anything and he should go into a field where he could succeed by virtue of his pleasant personality. Of course, this is Thomas Edison. And of course, I believe everyone's heard this one before, but we have a gentleman here who was fired from a newspaper because he lacked imagination and had no original ideas. Mr. Walt Disney himself. I mean, when it comes down to it, guys, some of the greatest people in the world have been pushed aside and told that they have no place and no success ahead of them. And think this one through, guys. These were not random people on the street telling these people, "You suck at what you're trying to do, go do something else." These are teachers. These are leaders who told them, "Hey, so sorry, you're not going to make it. A basketball coach, the Decca Recording Company, who at the time was one of the biggest recording companies out there, your drama school teacher, the newspaper, which we are going to go into that one even more, but the owner of the newspaper fired you for no imagination. Guys, it's not, you're not alone. If you're facing something, you're sitting here and you're going, I don't know if I can push past this. I don't know if I can make it to the next level. I don't know if there's room for this in the community. I don't know if the market actually wants this. You see, the thing is, we're going to talk about it a little bit more, but when you have something that is driving you, something you're really connected to, you have to realize that nothing should get in your way. I want to talk real quickly about a young gentleman, a man who single-handedly grew a rainforest. Now, think this one through for a second, guys. Growing a rainforest does not happen overnight. In fact, none of these do. There's a great quote out there from the founder of Twitter. And the founder of Twitter said that, let's see if I can find the right quote so I don't botch it up here. I don't have it in front of me. But basically, he said that years of success or years of trying and struggling. Ah, I found it. Here we go. Timing, perseverance, and 10 years of trying will eventually make you look like an overnight success. 10 years of trying. It's not an overnight thing. So if you found your calling, you found your thing, do not give up on it. Jadav Malai Payeng, I'm sure I just butchered that name, but he took a 1,300-acre barren sandbar and turned it into a luscious green forest because at 16 years old, after a massive flood, it dragged the snakes away with a cruel current of water, is how they phrased it, right? And on the sandbar, there were hundreds of these snakes dying from the water, from the flooding. He went home and he cried and he cried, and he realized that if there had been enough trees in that area, those snakes, they could have taken shelter. The animals that were killed, that were destroyed by this flood, would have been saved. And so at first, he went the normal route. He said, okay, I'm going to contact the forest department. I'm going to ask them to plant trees. I'm going to ask them to help here. This is their job, right? That's what they exist to do. And so he kept reaching out to people, but he kept receiving these responses. Hey, dude, it's a sandbar. Nothing's going to grow there. Hey, dude, you know what? Just try planting some bamboo maybe. That might help. No one would help him out. And so he realized he had two options, right? I can either waste my time on this idea of trying to get someone else to do this. I can waste my time on getting someone else to do their job. Or I could just do it. It took him 30 years. 30 years. And now that sandbar is the home of a variety of multiple endangered reptiles, birds, rhinos, deer, tigers, elephants. And it wasn't until 2008 that he actually started to get some recognition for the work he was putting in. 2008. His journey started in 1979. It took him 29 years before he even got a shred of recognition, 29 years of being told he was an idiot and he couldn't make it, 29 years of being told to just give up and just plant some bamboo and move on with his life. And now, this gentleman has transformed this area. He didn't just create a forest. He created a sustainable ecosystem on that sandbar. His diligence, his concentration, took him to a threshold that no one else has had the luxury of seeing. You know, he has a this article I was reading and had a big great quote. It said, "What makes mediocre people more powerful than the talented ones in terms of achieving more and outstanding success? It's their unremitting devotion to any job at their hands. They don't know when to quit. Their steps are slow, but they don't settle for less, and they just continue to climb. Their success might get delayed by struggles and defeats, but what they achieve is greater and sweeter." There was a great quote that my boss gave me when I first started working in the corporate world. And he said, you know, one of my favorite quotes in the world is that hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. And it's so true. Think this one through for yourself for just a second. For just a second. You don't have to be the best person out there. You just have to be more persistent than everyone else. And you could build a jungle and save lives and transform your future. Now, of course, we've all heard about Sylvester Stallone's story, right? Moving on to the next one. I told you guys I had a ton of stories to go through, and I promised you guys a ton of these stories. So I want to make sure I get to all of these. So let me keep moving through them. Now, of course, I'm sure most of you heard Sylvester Stallone's story, but just in case you haven't, I want to kind of walk you through it. Now, obviously, we all know Sylvester Stallone now. He's world famous for his role in the Rocky movies. Right. But this guy, I mean, he had it rough as a child. He was taunted in school. He was in and out of foster homes. He didn't have it much better as an adult. He was back and forth, in and out. He wasn't able to earn steady income. The only thing he had through all of his childhood growing up, moving along, was his dog. And this dog meant the world to him. And at one point, he reached a new low and he had to sell his dog for $25. So he could get his electricity turned back on. Could you imagine having nothing? No parents, no family, no friends. You have your dog, and you have to choose between electricity so you can survive the cold winter or selling your dog. And so he made a choice. And it was 2 weeks after selling his dog that he wrote the Rocky script. Now, here's a cool thing. It took him 20 hours to write that script. 20 hours straight. See, here's something I want to point out. Sometimes we look at this and we go, oh my gosh, I could knock that out in a day. And then it takes 2 or 3 days or 2 or 3 weeks or 2 or 3 months. And we sit here going, oh my gosh, I can't believe that was so hard. This is ridiculous. Think about this. How many times do we actually get to 20 hours of work? We don't get there very often. And then once he had it written, he went out and he peddled that darn script relentlessly. He got rejected, guess how many times? He got rejected not 100, not 200, not 300. He was rejected more than 1,500 times. Have you received 1,500 no's? Really? And kept going? When he was given his first yes, there was a condition. We'll give you $125,000, but only if you will have nothing to do with the movie. He wouldn't sell it. They offered him up to $325,000 if he would let them take it and not star in it. Finally, they compromised. They said, okay, you can play the role of Rocky, but we're only going to give you $35,000. And then we'll give you a percentage of the profits as a concession. They didn't expect it to go anywhere with this random guy who's had a rough life. He accepted it. And one of his first purchases with that $35,000 windfall was to go find the guy he sold his dog to for $25 and buy it back. But now this guy, of course, turned into a, well, we don't know the whole story there, but we can make a big assumption since he had to pay $15,000 to get his dog back. Rocky cost the studio $1 million to make, but it grossed $200 million, and the sequels grossed over $1 billion. Never give up. Did you know that Henry Ford failed and he went broke 5 times before he actually succeeded? Did you know that R.H. Macy, the owner of the Macy's stores, failed 7 times before his store in New York caught on? Yeah, Macy's. The guys who do that big parade every Thanksgiving, it's a household name. 7 times before the store caught on. When the Bell Telephone Company was struggling to get started, the owners offered all of the rights to the Western Union for $100,000. The offer was rejected with a pronouncement of, "What would our company ever make of an electrical toy?" Tom Landry, Chuck Knoll, Bill Walsh, and Jimmy Johnson accounted for 11 of the 19 Super Bowl victories from 1974 to 1993. Okay, these are big name coaches. Okay, I'm not big in football, and I even recognize some of these names. But you know what else these coaches share? They have the distinction of also having the worst record of first-season head coaches in NFL history. These guys, in their first season as NFL coaches, did not win a single game, but they went on to have one of the highest records for winning Super Bowl victories as head coaches. It's incredible how not being willing to give up can take you to places you never expected. Two more stories to share with you. One of them I'm sure you know. Of course, it's the story of J.K. Rowling, the author of the Harry Potter books. She is the second richest female entertainer on the planet, right behind Oprah Winfrey. However, when Rowling wrote the first Harry Potter book, it was actually rejected by 12 different publishers, and she was told to, quote unquote, go get a day job. They had that little faith in her ability. See, when Rowling was writing the original Harry Potter book, her life was a mess. She was going through a divorce. She lived in a tiny flat with her daughter. She survived on government subsidies, and her mother had just passed away from multiple sclerosis. J.K. Rowling managed to turn that around because she devoted her time towards her mission, towards the things she knew that would take her through, towards the Harry Potter series. And the result is a brand name that's worth nearly $15 billion, one of the highest grossing entertainment names. It's incredible what you can accomplish when you refuse to give up. Now, here's my favorite one. Okay, we've all heard part of the Walt Disney story, but you know what? I never knew all of the story. So Walt Disney was actually fired from the Kansas City Star newspaper because his boss said, basically, you have no creativity, dude. So he went on and he said, well, you know what? I do, and I'm going to make an animation company. So he created this company called Laugh-O-Gram Films back in the 1920s. And just by going out and being Walt Disney, he went out. He actually raised $15,000 for the company, which is almost $200,000 in 2008 dollars. However, he made a deal with a New York distributor, and then when the distributor went out of business, he had to shut it down. Disney could barely pay his rent and ended up resorting to eating dog food. So let me pause right here in the story and encourage you that if you have never done anything else, as long as you haven't had to resort to eating dog food, you're still a step above rock bottom. Broke, but not defeated, Disney went on and he took his last couple dollars, bought a ticket to Hollywood. So in the later 1920s, he created Oswald the Rabbit, which we've all heard about Oswald the Rabbit. He attempted to negotiate a deal with Universal Studios, who was the company that was distributing it, and found out that Universal had secretly patented the character. And then, best part here, Universal hired Disney's artist away from him and continued the cartoon without Disney's input and without paying him. I mean, if you feel you've gotten screwed at this point in life, I don't know, that's probably a pretty good reason to walk around with a chip on your shoulders. And you know what? It doesn't end there, because Disney struggled to release a lot of the films that became some of his classic stuff. He was told that Mickey Mouse would fail because the mouse would terrify women. Mickey Mouse, right? Again, we've got feedback coming from big names driving people away. We've got feedback coming from big names driving people away from something that creates a billion-dollar empire. Distributors rejected The Three Little Pigs. They said it needed more characters. Pinocchio was shut down during production, and Disney had to turn around and rewrite the entire storyline. And then other films like Bambi and Pollyanna and Fantasia were completely misunderstood by the audiences and just totally bombed. Now, these are movies that have become favorites now, but they were nothing back then. The greatest example of perseverance occurred, of course, we all know how Mary Poppins got turned into a film. Disney decided he wanted to do that in the 1940s, but the owner, the writer, had no interest in making that happen. So Disney ended up traveling over to the author multiple times over the next 16 years. And after more than a decade and a half, he finally got permission to write it. Disney World. Okay, it doesn't even end there, right? This is a guy who is a household name, not just in the U.S., but across the world. And now we've got his fame. Disney World Park was rejected by Anaheim because it would attract the riffraff. Now, here's the best part. Because after going through all of that, the Disney company then purchased ABC in 1996. And at that time, ABC was the owner of the Kansas City Star. In other words, the newspaper that once fired Disney was now owned by Disney. You see, persistence has something to say. Persistence has something to push you on. I know I promised one more story, but I want to move on to these three steps. So I'm going to go ahead and post this last story over in the Facebook group. So if the story about the grandma who failed 960 times, I'm going to post that story over in the Facebook group. You can go over and grab it at facebook.com/groups/blackbeltselling. Just because I want to take our last few minutes here and talk about three tools you can use to overcome these obstacles that will break you down. And the number one tool I can give you, I've mentioned it before, I've talked about it throughout the entire training here. You have to have a mission. You have to have something that pushes you and drives you. When everyone else is sitting here saying you can't make it, when everyone else is sitting here saying that's not going to work, your Mickey Mouse idea is going to scare the ladies. When the city of Anaheim, California tells you that your idea for a park is going to attract the riffraff. When you have to sell your dog for $25 so you can pay the electric bill so you can stay warm in the winter, you have to have a mission. You have to have something that is pushing you. You have to have something that is driving you deep down. I'm talking about that drive in the gut of your stomach. That thing that you sit there and you say, I am going to do this because the thing that won't let you sleep, that thing that you jump out of bed every morning and go, I need to work on this. Because if you don't have a mission, and let me share something with you. A mission is not making more money. That is not going to get you out of bed in the morning, because guarantee at some point it's going to be more work than it's worth, and you're going to sit here and go, well, you know, I've got enough money to pay the bills, and you go back to bed. You need to have something that drives you. Something that is bigger than you. See, my mission for my company is to disrupt the way the world does business. I believe the way we do business right now is unsustainable and it is hurting people. And I want to change that. So every single time I hear of a business owner going out of business, every single time I hear of a business owner having to let go of his staff, every single time I get out of bed and I say, man, this is harder work than I thought it was going to be, that's what pushes me. That's what drives me. So what is your mission that is pushing you? What is your mission that is driving you when you get told by your drama teacher, you should go find a job in any other industry? When you get told by your educational provider that you should find a job in somewhere where you can succeed by virtue of your pleasant personality? Once you have a mission, you have to build habits for yourself. You have to build habits. You see, it's the thing is, when you're tired, when you're exhausted, it's the habits that are going to push you through. When Mom and I were getting ready for our black belt test, we were warned, okay, your black belt test is an intense thing. You're going to cry. It's long. It's an 8-hour test. And for those of you who don't know, you can burn up to 2,000 calories an hour just doing martial arts per hour. 8-hour test. It's exhausting. And when you get to hour 5, the only thing that's going to help you get through that spin, shuffle, double, back flying sidekick are your habits, the habits that you've created. So are you building habits of excellence in your life? Or are you building habits that are going to allow you to fall prey and fall victim to every single obstacle that comes your way? Are you building habits that are going to force you to overcome challenges in your life? Or are you letting yourself fall into these traits, fall into habits of laziness and lethargy? And the last step to help you overcome these obstacles is really 4 steps. Sit down, recover, pull your brain back into a place of calm. Because when we start to run into these obstacles, right, we tend to get flustered. We tend to get overwhelmed. We don't tend to do very well. So sit down, recover, reset your brain. Plan your next step and launch out in your new direction. See, it doesn't matter what challenges you're facing. I guarantee someone has been up against something a lot bigger. And that sounds harsh and it sounds hard to believe. And some of you guys are sitting here going, Stephanie, you have no idea what I'm facing. Really? Really? You did not just listen to me give all those stories and try and tell me that I have no idea what you're facing, because someone out there has been up against something bigger. I'm not a believer in coddling. I'm not a believer in giving up problems or challenges that people are facing. I believe if you have a mission, if you have habits, and if you know when it's time to sit down, step back, recover, reset, and push yourself out in a brand new direction, you can do it. You can do anything. Because that's what a black belt does. See, black belts don't let themselves be overcome. Black belts don't let themselves. Black belts don't let themselves be taken advantage of. Black belts. Black belts push through. Black belts push through. So, are you going to make a choice today to find your mission, build good habits, and know when to sit down, recover, reset your brain, set a new plan, and launch out again to achieve your mission? Because if you're willing to go that far, you can change the world. I want to encourage you guys to join us again next week. If you haven't hopped over and joined our Facebook group yet, it's www.facebook.com/groups/blackbeltselling. Every week. I appreciate you guys joining us, because you guys are the ones that make this what it is. I'm Stephanie, here for Anna. We are the Black Belt Sellers of Southwest and Central Texas, encouraging you to make it a great week.